Now the Talk of the Nation opinion page. It was another big weekend for spandex, masks, and capes at the movies. This time, the dark, bloody, and very complex Watchmen.
Watchmen. That's the real joke.
Look, Rorschach and I have made real headway on the gang problem by working together.
We can do so much more. We can save this world. With the right leadership.
Yeah. And that'd be you, right, Ozzy? I mean, hell, you're the smartest man on the planet.
It doesn't take a genius to see the world has problems.
Yeah, but it takes a room full of morons who think they're small enough for you to handle.
Here's just a taste of the reviews of the latest comic book adaptation. In the Los Angeles Times, Kenneth Turan cited the man who co-created the original comic book. Alan Moore was right. There isn't a movie in Watchmen, at least not a good one. Ouch. And Anthony Lane in The New Yorker, Watchmen grinds and squelches on for 2.5 hours. The good news is you don't have to stay past the opening credits sequence, easily the highlight of the film. Still, a lot of people ignored the critics. Watchmen racked up more than $50 million at the box office, easily number one this past weekend. So if you saw Watchmen, did you like it? And if you read the graphic novel, did the movie match up? 800-989-8255. Email us talk@npr.org. One man who knows Hollywood movies and comics is John Ridley. He came up with the story for Three Kings and wrote the comic book series The American Way. You might also recognize his voice as a contributor to NPR's Morning Edition. Nice to have you back on Talk of the Nation, John.
Neil, thank you, as always.
And the critics, for the most part, hammered Watchmen. You have an idea for movies and comics. What did you think?
You know, this is tough. Alan Moore was right in many ways, as Ken Turan said. This is an unfilmable comic book, a graphic novel, if you're really into the genre. I think that they did a good job of translating this from the page to the screen. If you are a real fanboy, there are things that you will like and be disappointed about. If you're a casual fan, there are things that you will like and be disappointed about as well. I think you've got to come in with a clean palate and say this is its own thing. It's not the graphic novel. This is not Batman or Iron Man. It's The Watchmen as a film.
Nevertheless, the director of this film, who also made 300, the adaptation of the Frank Miller graphic novel, did very similar kinds of things in that he took actual panels from the comic book and recreated them, or attempted to, on the screen.
Yeah, that was one of the big things, is trying to be as faithful as possible. And you get into this gray area when you do that of being overly faithful. Do you have to step away from the source material? I read one piece, a more analytical piece than a real review of The Watchmen, that talked about, is Zack Snyder a real visionary if all he's doing is translating what is exactly on the page to the screen? Is that a vision, or basically are you just reproducing what's there? Again, this is picking this film, Zack set himself up to be one of the most disliked people in America. And I would have to say, I think he did a good job of translating this, and really did a good job of just standing up for himself and saying, hey, I'm taking this on regardless of what other people think.
Now, you've made Hollywood movies. You've written graphic novels. The process of this making this movie is an even more complex story than Watchmen itself.
Oh, it's huge. I don't know where to begin to say how huge it is. I mean, first you take a multi-issue series. I mean, this could have been an HBO miniseries very easily. Mm-hmm. If you're going to tell this story. I mean, The Watchmen is dense. They're new characters. There aren't these easy touchstones with Batman or Superman where you know coming in, essentially anybody knows their backstory. You have to tell a new backstory with these characters. It's very dark. I think we're used to that now a little bit with The Dark Knight that did so well. But still, it's dark, it's violent. This is an R-rated film. With the graphic novel, there is a graphic novel within the graphic novel that Alan Moore and Dave Gibbons did. So there are all these stories and all these threads and all these new ideas. For an audience member coming in, you've got about 3 minutes to get acclimated with everything that's going on. And as one of the reviewers that you quoted said, the opening sequence does a really good job of that. But it becomes more and more difficult when you do something spectacular in your first 3 minutes to follow that up.
And this is a comic book, a graphic novel, set in a sort of alternate reality of 1985, right, when it first got published. It's in part a parable about the Cold War, and it's still set in 1985 in this alternate reality.
Well, that was one of the interesting things, and I did go through a lot of the reviews. I wanted to see how it would be reviewed, and there were some odd reviews where they said it felt dated, and it was like, well, it's set in the 1980s. It should feel dated. Some of the ideas, of course, are going to feel dated, but that's the world that it's set up in. And those are those ideas. So I think, again, if you come into it and you have all these presuppositions about what it should be, and don't just sit down and say, look, I'm going to look at this movie for what the film is, then you are going to be disappointed. You absolutely, and that's true with any adaptation, whether it's a book, whether it's a graphic novel or what have you, you've got to go into it and say, forget about what I've read before. This is what it is.
And it's true for the very limited audience who may have read the original screenplay of a movie that sold the project. What ends up on the screen may bear not a whole lot of relation to it.
You know, that's the thing about the internet now, is people have access to original drafts or first drafts or what's on the page. I mean, I compare it to photographing a model. A lot of times if you see a supermodel in real life, you go, well, she's not as pretty as I thought she was. Well, it's the way the photographer shoots her. It's the way her face catches the light and the angles. And it's the same thing with the script. When you add music, when you add the performance by the actors, when you add the visuals, when you add the set design, that is the movie. There's so many times people read the script and go, this is not going to be a good movie. The movie is spectacular because it is a film and there's so many layers to it.
Let's see if we get some listeners in the conversation. Our guest, of course, John Ridley. You recognize his voice as a contributor to Morning Edition. He also blogs for that program. He's a screenwriter and graphic novelist, and he joins us from the studios at NPR West. If you'd like to join the conversation about the new film Watchmen, 800-989-8255. Email us, talk@npr.org. And let's start with Cedric. Cedric with us from Chapel Hill in North Carolina.
Hello, how you doing?
Very well, thanks.
Wonderful, wonderful. I went to the movie yesterday, and I saw it. It was a good movie. I came with a clean palate. I had not read the graphic novel, and it was a good movie, a very good movie, very relevant. I'm a soldier. I actually called to talk about the topic beforehand. But I was lucky enough to get in on this one, having seen the movie yesterday. And it's just kind of it's sometimes I sit around. And I think, you know, how can we save ourselves, and how ridiculous have we become? And this movie addressed that kind of, you know, what would have to happen? What would have to, for us to think about it, what would have to happen? I don't want to give away the movie or anything, but that's kind of the background premise of the movie. It's a very good movie, I thought.
The fundamental question of the movie is who watches The Watchmen?
Right. That and, you know, and how, you know, are we going to have superheroes to do it for us, or, you know, in this reality? Or can we do it ourselves, or what? And can we save ourselves, you know, from impending danger, you know?
And John Ridley, that's another point. Back in 1985, this dark approach that the graphic novel took was a revelation. People weren't asking questions like that, which had become a little more common over the past quarter century or so.
Well, certainly not in graphic novels. You know, originally there was the DC Universe, and it started in different places. But the DC Universe, Superman, Batman, they were the iconic heroes. Wonder Woman, who lived in sort of a parallel United States. There was Gotham City, there was Metropolis, and they were all, you know, big and fantastic. Then came Marvel Comics, and they were set in New York and Los Angeles. Spider-Man, you had the angst, and they brought the angst into the comic book world. Around 1985, when The Watchmen came out, when Dark Knight came out, when Crisis on Infinite Earths came out, there was this real maturation of the graphic novel. And The Watchmen was part of that. And as you said, Neil, it brought these heavy themes about what can people do, what can heroes do, the limitations of heroes to the graphic novel. And I would say the first time adults could walk into a comic book store and buy a comic book and not say, you know, I'm just getting this for my kid. He gave me this list. I have to get something. No, they became real literature. And by the way, as a lot of people know, The Watchmen is the only graphic novel that's on Time Magazine's list of the 100 best pieces of literature ever. So, you know, whether it deserves to be there or not, it certainly has that recognition of being of that quality.
Cedric, thanks for the call.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Bye-bye. Let's see if we can go now to Nathan. Nathan with us from Cincinnati.
Hi.
Hi.
Long-time listener, first-time caller.
Thank you.
I saw the movie on Friday on opening night, and I thought it was good, but I didn't like it. But I didn't hate it. You know, I loved the first half hour. The first half hour felt like it was everything it needed to be. But then it seemed like they tried to turn the movie into a grindhouse flick. What I'm trying to say by that is they really sensationalized the violence and sex in it. And I've read the comic like 4 or 5 times.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, the story's about the characters, not about the situations they're in, really. And it just felt like that's where they're going with it.
And John Ridley, Nathan's got a point. In the graphic novel, much of the violence happens off screen, if you will.
It does, and also, you know, violence on the page, it's different than seeing it. You still know it's actors, you still know it's pretend, but when it's graphic, it's graphic. And that is one of the difficulties of the translation, is how much can you get away with? There's certain images and there's certain things that happen in The Watchmen in the graphic novel that were pretty big deal in terms of violence in comic books. But there is one scene, and I don't want to get into spoilers, where things were left to the imagination on the graphic novel, or there was a certain gray area and a certain murkiness to a particular violence that was much more stated in the film. And I think that, as the caller says, that's one of those places where anybody, whether you read the story or not, you go, okay, that's one I could perhaps do without. Comic books are moving to a more violent place, and it's how far is too far, I think, is going to be the question after Dark Knight and after Watchmen.
Hmm. Nathan?
I would have to agree with that, but again, I would say, you know, it just seems like, yes, a lot of it happens off panel, but it feels to me that you don't have to put like a 30 minutes, a little extreme, but a very long fight scene where it's not based on the fight scenes. And I think it was more towards, you know, well, let's get people to like it rather than staying true to the story.
Thanks very much for the call.
Mm-hmm.
Bye-bye. Here's a review from Adam in Winston-Salem. It's a flawed movie made from flawed source material. It was fantastic, he writes. And this another email from Francoise. I never read the comic, but I love the movie. It combined philosophies from the book like the Empire, Marxist theory, and Plato's theories on democracy. I felt like I was in democracy, ethics, and power doctoral course. My husband and I discussed the movie at length. I only went for the cinematography, but left in deep contemplation. We're talking about the movie Watchmen with John Ridley on the Opinion page. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And let's see if we can go now to Carolyn. Caroline is with us from Lansing in Michigan.
Hello. First-time caller. I'm a huge fan of the show, though.
Well, thank you very much.
My fiancé and I both went to see it, and I'm a huge fan of comic books. And the book itself, I've read a couple times. And I also have my major in school is American Studies, so a lot of focus on comic books and culture and stuff like that. And we both actually enjoyed the movie, but for very different reasons. He was very much into the spectacle of it and sort of the idea of superheroes who can't necessarily win, superheroes as people. And my side of it was more of the enjoyment of, I think he was really, that Zack Snyder took this huge scope of a book that included everything from a photo album to an ornithological article to another graphic novel within the graphic novel. And he managed to make it a very reachable film. And so I really enjoyed that aspect of it because I really enjoyed the book and I thought he was true to it while making it accessible, even in a 2.5-hour movie.
So you didn't feel like you needed to bring a lunch?
I didn't. I was involved from the very beginning to the end, and I mean, I disagree with the earlier caller where they said that the characters weren't the focus. I mean, I think Rorschach, the character, as portrayed in the film, was extremely compelling, and yeah, there was a few that kind of fell short of maybe the comic books, what the comic book built them to be, but I mean, I think that they were incredibly interesting. On top of the fact that the movie was very true to who they were within the book.
Caroline, thanks very much for the call. Appreciate it.
You're welcome. Have a good day.
You too. And let's see if we can go now to Ryan. Ryan with us from Riverbank, California.
Yeah, I'm actually a movie theater manager who thoroughly enjoyed the movie over the weekend.
Uh-huh.
And I think the biggest issue is really the expectations that customers are having when they come in to see the movie. We've had a ton of people bringing in their 3- and 4-year-old kids.
Oh, my.
Expecting it to be a Spider-Man or an Iron Man, and it's just not that at all.
They're going to be disappointed.
They've been incredibly frustrated and thought, oh, that was the worst movie ever, because it just wasn't what they expected it to be.
Let me ask you another question, and that is its running length of 2 hours 45 minutes once you get done with everything. That means you can't run it as often as you can most movies.
It's true.
And how much does that hurt your business? Ryan? I guess Ryan has left us. Anyway.
Actually, I'm still here. Sorry about that.
Oh, I was just going to say, how much does that lack of running means you can only run it, 4 or 5 times a day instead of 6 or 7?
Well, on any specific screen, yeah, about 3 or 4 times. But what we do is we make up for it by bumping other movies out of the theaters. And playing it on about 4 or 5 screens.
I see. So it's available almost any hour.
Pretty much.
All right. Ryan, good luck. Thanks.
Thank you.
And John Ridley, let me ask you, you've, in addition to writing comics and working on movies and, of course, working for Morning Edition, you're also a novelist. And there's one you wrote, Those Who Walk in Darkness, which is also about people with superpowers and
right.
A pretty good novel. Seemed almost as if it was written for the screen to be adapted, and somehow it never was.
Well, yes, it has never been. I have to say, in some ways, I'm obviously disappointed about that. In some ways, it's been a cash cow. I've sold it in Hollywood several times. I almost may cry the day people stop buying it. There are issues with that. The big issue with that, and I don't mean to make excuses for the story, but the lead character is a black woman. And it's about bigotry and the fact that you have a black woman who doesn't quite understand that. Mm-hmm. So it's complex for a novel. It's exciting, but you get to the metrics of Hollywood. It's, okay, who do we put in this part and how do we make money? I have to say, year by year, that becomes easier. I think it will go to the screen at some point. But those are some of the, you know, that's one of the reasons why I choose to write novels. And with graphic novels, you don't have to worry about those kinds of things. You know, when Alan Moore and Dave Gibbons did The Watchmen, and you talk about setting it in 1985, even though it was in 1985, but the scope of it, you don't have to worry about, okay, how do we present the Vietnam War in this scene or in this issue, and how do we present New York City in this issue? You can do all those things. Again, in adapting it and moving, whether it's The Watchmen, whether it's my own work, Those Who Walk in Darkness, from page to screen, it becomes, okay, how do we actually pay for this? How do we actually do this?
Uh-huh.
And that's the difference. You know, when Zach did 300, $70 million, Watchmen, $120 million, then, as you asked to your last caller, the running time and how much money you're making, those become more significant issues.
We'll leave Adam with the last word. He emailed us to write, comics are designed to leave the action plot flow to the imagination of the reader by making a movie and providing us with what we once left to the imagination. We're left underwhelmed and betrayed by our imagination. Well, John Ridley, you never betray us.
Thank you.
John Ridley, screenwriter, graphic novelist, and a contributor, NPR's Morning Edition, joined us today from the studios of NPR West in Culver City, California. This is Talk of the Nation from NPR News. I'm Neil Conan in Washington.